ladies and gentlemen, to another edition to Metalcore Mania. We are in the air everywhere. Welcome to the vast network of metal, where we not only make lead, but we also welcome the shreds. Welcome, guys. It is a wonderful, magnificent day, I must say. The weather is looking rather splendid here. And it's just a great day, man. Just a great fucking day here in sunny California. Still working on my medical endeavors, you know, because I want to save the world. You know what I mean? If your career path is not in the medical, then hey, man. If COVID hits again, I'm sorry, but you might be unemployed. Let's just be honest. all jokes aside, man, it's great. Just cruising here. Hope you guys did listen to my previous episode, which was the annual award show. I know I was super late on it, but it was definitely something that I had to give you guys. You know, and it's content for the masses, man, because, you know, no one else is going to tell it like I'm going to tell it, you know, no one else has the accuracy that I, you know, convey, I must say. So I had to give it to you guys, man. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I have actually recently listened to more music. So that, revamp list that I made, I have to give you guys an album to check out that's actually top 10 in that list, which I'll probably update again maybe next year or within 2 years. I'll revamp it again. So man, just a lot of great music coming our way. It's a great year to be a fan of the metalcore genre or death metal, and post-hardcore is starting to do their thing. They're coming about for sure. So yeah, man, just excited to be in this music lane, and hopefully you guys are too. And yeah, man, we're gonna get into it. As you guys can see, the title of this video is called Pierce the Veil, and who else are we gonna be covering? Let's see here. Oh, To the Grave. Yes, To the Grave. What a wonderful album they have released. So we're definitely going to be covering them as well. But before we start, let's get into some news, man. I know this is unconventional, but I'm going to talk some metal news. Let's get into it. So, apparently Corey Taylor is hoping that Slipknot does not release an album called Look Outside Your Window, which is an album they had been working on, and by the looks of it, it may not come out. It's been a while since they released an album, and I guess we shall see. Of course, Slipknot is the band that looked like they watched way too much Hellraiser growing up, with a member actually looking like Pinhead. Everyone else looking like unsanctioned demons from Warlord Hell House and BC688. So, quite interesting looking guys for sure. And, man, hopefully Slipknot can give us some more content, man. Slipknot's definitely one of the goats, man. Quick shout out too, man. RIP Mitch Luker, man. A lot of you guys that have just been getting into this genre, you guys don't understand what it meant to have Mitch, man. Mitch was absolutely fucking awesome. If you haven't, go back and listen to some of Suicide Silence music when they were at their peak. It was when they had Mitch Luker. So that would be all music before 2013, I believe it should be. Yeah, so. But yeah, Mitch Luker was an absolute stud, so definitely check that out if you're new. The Black Dahlia Murder announced some shows that they're going to be having coming up here soon in the U.S. The Black Dahlia Murder, of course, is a band renamed after a female who was infamous for getting murdered and tortured and sawed, her body into pieces by a sick fuck a while ago. It is said that her death is still unsolved and no one understands how that happened, but her body parts were laying in front of a house in grass, which would be quite disturbing if you were to walk by that, especially if you were eating something. You probably would throw up, but who am I to say? But yeah, man, the Black Dahlia murder, excited for them. Definitely one of my have been one of my favorite death metal bands for a while now, man. And it's pretty cool that they're adding some more shows for sure, man. Honestly, they're probably my favorite death metal specifically band for sure. And let's see here. Motley Crue still making music. Jesus Christ. You guys gotta know when to call it quits. No, I'm just kidding. Motley Crue is fucking badass. And, man, their peak was so short, man. Hopefully they do come out with more music. I really enjoyed that movie that was dedicated to them that Machine Gun Kelly was in. It was a pretty badass movie. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure Tommy Lee and the other band members really behave like that. I'm pretty sure that happened. Fallen in Reverse and Ice Nine Kills are going on tour. That should be pretty cool. I'll be looking forward to that. Ice Nine Kills. I've just more recently start getting into Ice Nine Kills. I've always known them for a while now, but not necessarily my cup of tea when it comes to most of their content, but they definitely have some songs for sure that make you definitely interested. There's no doubt about that. Let's see here. Whitechapel is preparing for a U.S. tour this year. That should be pretty splendid. If you have not seen Whitechapel live, you are missing out. Definitely another one of my top death metal bands. They are one of the best live bands I have ever seen. Let's see here. Trivium and Beartooth announced the tour earlier this year. That should be interesting. And they're going to be co-headlining it, which in layman terms mean equal revenue share, which isn't always a good thing when you're the better band. Considering Beartooth is better. Nah, I'm just joking. But yeah, man, that should be a fun tour for sure, man. Let's see here. Other news we got. Apparently, Dying Fetus will be touring with Suicide Science, so that's going to be interesting. What else we got here? Between the Buried and Me announced summer 2023 North American tour. That should be interesting. Looking forward to that. Man, I want something good from Between the Buried and Me. That's what we're missing in the scene right now. We need Between the Buried and Me to have something fire, man. I know their last album, but man, we need something new, man. I know their album just came out, what, 2 years ago or a year ago? But, man, those guys definitely add that uniqueness, that unique quality that we need in the genre. So, can't hate on those guys. The Used and Pierce the Veil are just announced a tour as well pretty recently. And that should be interesting. The Used and Pierce the Veil co-headlining a tour. They're not necessarily similar in any way, but that should be very interesting. That should be very, very interesting. And speaking of Pierce the Veil, this is a good segue to go into their album review. So let's get into it. Pierce the Veil, Jaw of Life. Now, if you guys have been listening to me for a while, you know that Pierce DeVille definitely means a lot to me, and that's why I'm honestly covering this album, because they have had a few flops that I'm not very proud of. You know, I want them to be great every album, you know, considering they are like the probably it's always been like a debate between them and Sleeping with Sirens as far as like who's the most like, you know, iconic post-hardcore band, but they're definitely up there, man. I think Collide with the Sky was just one of those cult classic albums. It was absolutely fantastic, and you definitely expect that sometimes with bands, but it, you know, it's just hard for them to have that type of longevity. I mean, let's just be honest, no one's great forever, you know, we've said that before, so I don't really know what to expect with this album. I didn't really know what to expect, really, I should say. But once I got into it, man, and it got quite interesting, to say the least. Of course, Mike Fuentes, which is Vic's brother, left the band due to some allegations, which we won't get into because I don't like to kick a man when he's down. But, you know, that pretty much sucks, of course, when you're not performing and creating art with your brother, who you've been doing that with for a long time, could essentially affect your train of thought, the way you go about things, and what things you put out into the universe, because a part of him is, you know, is hurting from that. So, of course, man. So, with that being said, as notable as Mike is for the band with his great drumming, which it is great, it was definitely going to be interesting to check out this album. And they hadn't released an album since 2016. So that's 7 years, man. So definitely motivated to get into this because of what they've done for the culture of metal music and hardcore music. So definitely wanted to give it a try. Didn't want to give up on them. And so here we are. Brought me here. Here we are. And let's not forget that Issues lost Michael Bond, and they were still pretty kick-ass. So you never know, man. You never really know. But getting into the album, first song we have, Death of an Executioner. Almost sounds like Death of a Bachelor, not to get this song confused with Fall Out Boy, which you probably don't want to get confused with. Death of an Executioner, Headlights on Your Back Tonight. Vic said that, not me, but you get it nonetheless. you know, this one opens up with fade guitar synths that go into snapping guitars and good overall instrumentation play. We do get a guitar solo. We get solid transitions and that signature chorus of Pierce DeVille that makes me so excited to hear the rest. I can hear that vintage Pierce DeVille we grew to love in this track. And that's what makes this song a 4 out of 5 stars, because it does definitely provide some of those vintage elements, and you love to see that. Definitely motivates you, make you think that, you know, this album is going to come with a bang, man. You're excited now. So that's when we move to the track Past the Nirvana. Keynote guitar play opens this one up. We get Great Uncleans by Vic on this track. More of a garage band, sort of grindcore sort of style here. Sort of reminded me of Dillinger The Escape Plan a little bit. You know, those type of vibes to this song. Which overall, I ended up giving it a 3 out of 5 here. Moving on to Even When I'm Not With You. I Could Run All Night. Low sonic instruments open this one up. The signature melodic tune you expect when listening to Pierce DeVille. a song that focuses on how important someone is in the subject's life and how far they've come. I thought he was referencing Mike, but then I realized it was more of a romantic oath, which then made me realize immediately that this song was about a gal. Unless a gal is the subject of this song, then it's probably about a guy. But what do we know? Overall, I gave this song a 4 out of 5 stars. Pretty awesome. Emergency Cuts. Acoustic guitar with faded electrics. Open this one up. Nothing really stands out too much. Just a fun song that you can listen to when you're happy and having a good old time. Gave this song overall a 2.5 out of 5. Flawless Execution. Blink and I'll explode. I'm just the type. Now, when you hear those lyrics to open up the track, you're not sure what that means, but later on in the track, we soon find out that those lyrics were, in fact, quite disturbing. But nonetheless, this track opens up with synth piano keys and chill vibes. Nothing too crazy with instruments or vocals, but I did enjoy the meaning behind Flawless Execution, I might add. Vic or whoever the subject of this song is will, without a doubt, smash the shit out of anyone at any time. And by smash, I mean fuck. Now that my friend is flawless, yes, this is a love song. Overall, I give this song a 3.5 out of 5 stars. The Jaws of Life. Next track. Maybe I should go and buy a gun, Vic alludes to. Faded synths and bass open this one up. Good feel song that has that energy of some of the songs from Selfish Machines. Feels vintage as well. Pretty positive song. You can't hate on it, you know? Just one of those songs. Can't hate on it at all. Overall, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Moving on, we have Damn the Man, Save the Empire. This song has Gran Turismo-like vibes to it, which just means basically a lot of noise and it sounds like a video game. That's why that song got a 1 out of 5 for me, and there's nothing else to really say. The next song is Resilience, a chill melodic song, and that's all. It was chill and melodic. Overall, I gave this song a 2 out of 5 stars. Yeah, you guys will find that midway through this album, it gets really bad. At least for me, it did. So that's why you're going to see some of these reviews the way they are. Irrational Fears, which is an interlude. It's a pretty bland interlude. I don't usually expect much from interludes. However, there have been albums that have set the bar with what an interlude can be. And we've seen it before. Look at Trivium's interlude on their album In Waves. Look at Attack Attack's self-titled interlude on that album. Those were some of the most iconic interludes. This did not do it. It's pretty bland, 1 out of 5. Share Trauma, the next track. Another bland track that deserves nothing else to be said about it. Unfortunately, I do not like saying these things, but that's just how it is. You're in metalcore mania, baby. We tell no lies. The next track is So Far So Fake, which is a saying derived from So Far So Good. So that alone makes this track pretty damn interesting. Ambient guitars open this one up. Clarinets and good ambience create a feel-good vibe for this track, We actually get a little more guitar play than most tracks on the album, which was refreshing for sure. Passionate vocals by Vic that set this song apart. It's about someone who crossed the subject and thereafter revenge. Overall, I give this song a 4 out of 5. Definitely one of the more outstanding songs on the album. The next song we have, 12 Fractures, which is the last song on the album. We want to go out with a bang, so hopefully they gave it to us, right? 12 Fractures, isolated drum D guitar play and light tambourine opens this one up. The sound becomes this steady foundation as far as that tambourine, that drop D guitar. That sound from the intro pretty much becomes the entire foundation of the song. So you pretty much hear that throughout the entirety of the song. The song is all about mood and vocals, which were serviceable for what they needed to be. The vocal synths were the goal in this track, which pretty much elevated the track to be a 3.5. And overall, that's what I would rate it. And moving on to my overall thoughts of the album, Jaws of Life by Pierce the Veil. The pros of this album for me would be there was a great feature with the female Chloe. I don't know too much about her, but she definitely provided some much needed value to 12 Fractures, that song, the last song of the album. So I could definitely appreciate that. And like I said, I want to give female their credit this year, because there's been a lot of great front women this year in metal, which I can definitely appreciate. Another pro is that Vic still has it. You know, he definitely still has something to prove. He definitely still seems motivated, you know, and, you know, his vocal versatility seems to still be available. I don't know necessarily if they want to go into the direction of him using a lot of his vocals, but we'll save some of the criticism for cons. Another pro is that this band is still relevant after a decade plus, and I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I was looking through the album on Spotify, and most of, I think every single song had over 1 million views, so a lot of people don't understand how hard it is to cross that threshold of 1 million views. I mean, a lot of great bands aren't even getting close to that. And the fact that they're still able to do that after all this time, I mean, obviously they're a huge name in the hardcore scene, but it still goes without saying how difficult that actually is. Some of the cons on this album. Mike is definitely noticeably missed. So Mike Fuentes, the drummer that I mentioned earlier, is not on this album. He was replaced by a touring member that is now a part of the band full time. I'm not really sure why they hired a new drummer. Drumming wasn't impactful on this album at all. So I don't know. I didn't see it. That's been one of the staples for this band. They've always had great drum work. So, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to reach those golden days again, which kind of sucks. But, I mean, we've seen it with We Came as Romans last year, that you can be far away from your prime and or peak, and you can still return. So, I mean, who knows, man? But they don't seem close to being there. Another con of this was a lack of song versatility. And what I mean by that is there's not a whole lot of Instruments in general just weren't impactful on this album. As far as song structure, there wasn't a whole lot of transitions. There was maybe one or maybe max two breakdowns, two, on the entire album. Now, I get it. You know, this is post-hardcore. This isn't metal anything. You know, this isn't heavy metal. This is a metalcore. This isn't death metal. So breakdowns aren't a requirement for music in the post-hardcore genre. We understand this, if you understand music, that is. So, of course, we don't... that's not necessarily expected. However, some of Pierce the Veil's best songs feature breakdowns. Now, I get it, you know, if that's not maybe necessarily their crowd, I'm sure they understand who their fan base is, and maybe they wanted to go for maybe this style, but you could still be all, you know, you could still have all clean vocals and still have better song structure, and it just wasn't there for me. Which brings me into my last con, which is Vic's lack of uncleans. I mean, when he did scream, it was fucking awesome, which I believe was on the first track of the song. And yeah, Vic didn't scream. There was about as much unclean vocals on this album as there were breakdowns. So that was a huge problem for me. And again, this is post-hardcore. I just have to keep saying that because I don't want people to think I'm an idiot, you know? So these are all things that are not necessarily required. However, again, just for me, if your songs are going to lack great structure and they're going to lack uniqueness and a certain level of potent ability to be interesting, then I'm going to need you to be a little bit more unclean, so to speak, because that sort of can save a lot of this. You know, Vic's one of the most versatile vocalists we've ever seen. The fact that he has a voice that could be used in modern day pop music and still able to scream like that, I'm just very surprised that he did not utilize that more. But who knows, man? I don't know what type of conversations they're having or why he would choose to do that, but I'm sure there was reasons. But it was definitely a con for me. Overall with this album, man, you know what? It was cool to see, you know, these guys still around after all they've given to us. You know, they've given us classics already, you know. I think Selfish Machine and Collide with the Sky are classic albums, so a band gives you two classics, I mean, you can't really expect anything else from them, right? I mean, it's pretty awesome, you know? They're potentially hit it for an episode of the rise and fall of a band, which you guys definitely give me positive reviews when I do those episodes, so I'm definitely probably going to release more of those in the future. But these guys might end up on one of those episodes. I think the last one I did was one for Escape the Fate. Yeah, they're all the way down there. They've officially fallen. These guys haven't yet, but it's definitely, as you guys can see the numbers I was given some of these songs, I mean, they're hit it that way. You can't have multiple, you know, songs rated as a 1 out of 5. You can't have that. If you want to be a great band, you can't have that. There's nothing wrong with having chill melodic songs, but you gotta bring something to the table there. And overall, you know, 7 years off. They've, you know, like I said before, they've been gone 7 years, and after 7 years, releasing a decent album is almost, you know, impressive as Attack when they released Resurgence. When they released their album, that was like the same level of resurgence, you know, in a way. So Attack EP was definitely a hell of a lot better than this album, but nonetheless, it is cool to see these bands come back from out of slumber. Overall, I gave this album a 2.5 out of 5. Did not enjoy it that much, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to go to a commercial break. And stay metal and stay with me. Welcome back, guys, to Metalcore Mania. We are back and we are live. Now, getting back into it, guys, of course, the second part of the title of this episode, we will be getting into an album review called Director's Cut by To The Grave, an album that was released recently. Deathcore, baby, you know it. And what a transition going from post-hardcore to deathcore. It's pretty awesome, right? Only I can pull that off, let's just be honest. But, yeah, man, for sure. In the world of deathcore, I think, guys, we may be talking about some guys that definitely compete with Lorna Shore. I know Lorna Shore gets all the credit for being the goats of deathcore, but the more we dived into this album, guys, let's just say it was rather interesting. So let's do it, man, let's do it. The first track off the album, To The Grave's Director's Cut, which, by the way, guys, if you don't know, To The Grave, the band, their name comes from a movie. It was actually a movie series called To The Grave, their exact name. So having their album called Director's Cut is like a play off their name, essentially. If you don't know the movie series, you probably wouldn't have known that. But yeah, so this album cover is actually the movie cover from one of the movies. I can't remember if it's from the first To The Grave or one of the ones that follow, but yeah, it's definitely pretty cool that they play off that name. First track we have was Warning Shot. There's a slow, eerie buildup that breaks with heavy lows and snappy chugs and a clever small synth transition. Overall, a short and dynamic intro that teased us with how compelling everything about it was. Overall, I have to give this track a 4.5 out of 5. Definitely awesome juice. The next song we have is Red Dot Sight. Of course, they have a music video for this song, which was pretty gnarly. Hallowed Eve To The Grounds open this one up. Very fun song that implements wild and unconventional transitions that have cool chainsaw sound effects, echo screams, and off-guard subtle keyboard play. Honestly, this track just blows me away with everything and how they're able to maintain all the heaviness you need combined with the versatility you want in a deathcore song. Because as you guys know, the reason why there's not a lot of parody in deathcore is because a lot of deathcore is just noise, essentially. You know, people just yelling and screaming, instruments all over the place. It's just not put together well. So for how much potential deathcore has, and we see it so much with Lorna Shore, you just have to give them credit with all of the different things that they're able to implement with their genre. It's very refreshing to see another band being able to do this, and that's what I've seen so far with these two songs, Red Dot Sight and Warning Shot. Moving on to the next song, we have Full Sequence, Terror in the Flesh. This track early on lets us know what to expect with the snappy guitar playing, keyline bass rapidly chiming and back and forth, giving the song a djent feel to it. Symphonic elements come to life in this one, combined with a lightning fast drum play, and we all begin to taste a Cheddar Bay biscuit with how crispy this dynamic works. Yes, I said it, a Cheddar Bay biscuits. Man, some of us go to Red Lobster still, man. Hey, man, call me an old man. I still like fucking Red Lobster, okay? Overall, I give this track a 4 out of 5. Definitely some, little bit of awesome juice there for sure. BDTS, this one opens up with the distant, ominous sounds of someone walking in a forest. Fun transitions in this one as well, from guitar low to fast pacing, and the breakdown towards the end of the song with the dark chugs, capitulating vocals, and that led to a monster-like hussing outro, which I found incredible. It's pretty awesome. Very awesome outro. You guys know how important outros are to a song. Overall, I give this song a 4 out of 5 stars. Decent Mingus. The next song we have is Protest in Server. Bring me their heads now. They're not fucking around, guys. Opens with a dark undertone synth if you listen closely. And just a heavy in your face intro. This one has a guitar solo and great transitions from snare drums and vocal changes. We even have a semi-clean vocal, a couple of vocal notes in this one. Overall, I give this track a 4 out of 5 stars. Manhunt. It's open season, ladies and gentlemen. This one opens up with an explosion of instrumentation, very much understood that everything must be heavy. That was the focal point going in. Let's just be fucking heavy, you know? Let's weigh 800 pounds, man. We're just going to be heavy as fuck walking into this track, man. We ain't letting nothing go. We ain't fucking 3 prime steaks. Fucking every 2 hours, we ain't fucking around, man. Everything must be heavy. Yes, keyboards, and yes, vocals. The absolute shreds on this track, combined with the rapid vocal and instrument transitions, death-like pig squeals, all create an unforgettable song. Great intro, great outro, lyrics being so compelling as they were indeed. Great song structure, can't ask for more. They cover all of my bases of what makes a song great. But with that being said, I mean, what do you guys think I'm going to give this song? A 5 out of fucking 5, of course. Hypnosis, baby. The next track we had was Found Footage. This one surprisingly opens up with rapping, as in hip-hop, not rapping as in, like, tape in boxes. That would not be the case here. But nonetheless, with rapping and bells with eerie synths in the background, one of the most interesting deathcore songs I've listened to in a while, lyrically. The song is all about that and the vocals. Pretty much crisp, unhumane, rapid screams create the foundation of this song, and it definitely works for this song. It's not too many deathcore bands that are going to be able to implement hip-hop in their music, but I definitely think they were able to pull this off. It worked. Moving on, we have Acts of Kindness. I do believe they have a music video for this track. Cower Carnivores Line Up. They're not fucking around, man. You know what I'm saying? Who opens up a track and says, Cower Carnivores Line Up, man? So, hey, beware. To the Grave is out. And they're not fucking around. It's open season. Opens up with key line bass creating that dark augmented sound that occurs through a good part of the song, coupled with low growls. What definitely stood out to me was the song's chorus. Deathcore is not as popular as metalcore because of the lack of catchiness involving choruses, but this one felt like a chorus and felt catchy and dark and vengeful all at the same time for me. Thoroughly enjoyed the outro and how the pig squeals were used in this song. And that's another thing you will notice about this album in particular, especially when it pertains to deathcore or death metal or whatever, is that they don't overuse pig squealing. That's another problem. So if you're listening to this and you're a member of a deathcore band, please hear me out. You wonder why your band is not successful. You wonder why you're not reaching the level of success you want to reach. Just because your vocalist can do pig squeals all day and night does not mean you need to just overdo them. No one really wants to listen to a guy pig squealing the whole song. I mean, it's cool. And to be honest, Lorna Shore actually used to do that. If you look at a lot of their earlier music, they overdid the fuck out of it. Now they're actually making deathcore structured correctly, and you see the success that they're having. It's not because they can't pig squeal. So just wanted to put that out there that, I mean, at least for me, I don't like that much pig squealing. So overall, I gave this track Acts of Kindness a 4.5 out of 5. They've almost touched the gates of heaven. 4.5, man, close. Reversing the Bear Trap, the next track, low growls and steady instruments open this one up, followed with pre-verse snapping drums. Nothing too dynamic or outstanding in this track. They just kept it heavy and clean, like a Pillsbury machine, Irene. You understand? Overall, I gave this track a 3 out of 5. You know, pretty solid track. A little bit above average. You know, very solid. Not bad. And as you guys can see, they've had no, like, bad tracks yet. You know, there's no ones, no twos. So that's a sign of a pretty good album. The next track we have is Cut Off the Head. Opens with, you know, the traditional WWE theme-like rhythm of the chugga, 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 chugga. You know, symphonic elements and animated sounds, like the knife slicing was actually really enjoyable. Key elements of this one are the rapid transition and distorted flare riffs, and the onslaught drumming for about 10 seconds at a time. So that happened about 2 or 3 times, and that actually really is what set this track apart as far as gave it that uniqueness to it. Overall, I gave this track a 3.5 out of 5. And the last track of the album, we have Dyrise, which is not to be confused with Dyrise, which used to be a Call of Duty Zombies map, which I definitely had trouble with because the map was actually an upside down map. Now, considering I don't walk around upside down every fucking day, you can imagine that I had great trouble with this map. But let's not remember our tranquility. Let's remember our footstones, ladies and gentlemen. So, Dyrise. This one opens up with faded out sounds with a subtle keyboard play. This song felt like an, you know, a hymn of intent, so to speak. The symphonic element was a good way to close out the song. The energy of the song as a feeling of defeat, lying in the wake of vengeance, more about the vibes rather than anything standing out in particular in regards to the song instrumentally. But the longest song on the album, it was about 8 minutes long, and a solid outro track. Of course, it's more of one of those traditional outro tracks from a deathcore death metal band where they kind of just, it's more of like that hymn, you know, sort of track. Overall, I gave this song a 4 out of 5 stars. Very solid rating, if I do say so myself. And that pretty much covers all of those tracks for this album. Some of the pros, cons, and the overall gist of the album. we'll get into the pros first. The pros was that this album was absolutely heavy. So many heavy elements. Got all the heavy elements you wanted. Great transitions. This album wasn't focused on sounding a specific way or overutilizing certain instruments. They knew that they were going to come in heavy, but no song sounded alike, so to speak, which is great. Just shows the versatility, how they can play off different sounds and don't have to rely on a specific sound to make a good track. So that was pretty awesome. The vocals were fucking gnarly, insane vocals, great vocals. I know music videos don't necessarily have to do with the track, but they have about 3 or 4 music videos for this album. If you guys haven't seen them, definitely watch them. They make some really high production, high quality music videos that are very intriguing. Another pro for this album was the lyrics. The lyrics were outstanding. They were mostly about vengeance or revenge or taking what's yours, you know, paying the price, you know, for different things, you know. One of the tracks, I believe it was Manhunt, where they were talking about how we eat up so many animals and how we should probably have to pay for that. And that's why it was pretty much open season on us, man. But yeah, man, so those are definitely plenty of the pros there. Some of the cons of this album, I would say, there wasn't, I don't know if there were any cons on this album, guys. Cons, anything negative about this album? Yeah, I probably wouldn't say there was anything really negative about this album. I mean, it could have been better, but there was nothing necessarily like a negative about this album. Not that I can really come up with. So with that being said, overall, I give this album a 4 out of 5 stars. I was very tempted to give it a 4.5, but I was like, nah, I can't do it because they only had 1 5-star track in this album. But nonetheless, I mean, they didn't have any 2-star songs, any 1-star songs. I don't even think they had a 3-star track here as well as I go through this. Yeah, okay, so they had 1 3 star rated track, which was Reversing the Bear Trap. But outside of that, they didn't have any other 3. So this album was very, very good, man. Definitely an album you guys definitely want to check out. If you like deathcore, but you lack that quality deathcore that you're seeking, these guys are definitely giving Lorna Shore a run for their money. I wish I would have covered Lorna Shore Pain Remains album. That would have been so fucking fun to cover that album. There was plenty of albums I missed out on covering, which fucking absolutely sucks. And maybe I'll still cover some of the albums I missed out on, man, because there was so much great music in 2022. And if you guys want to see me cover some albums, maybe if you guys listen to me on Spotify, I'll actually put that down as a poll for this episode. If there's any albums you guys actually want me to cover, I think that's a great fan question, to be honest. So I'll definitely put that down. But for some reason, I only can ask those poll questions on Spotify. So if you're a Spotify listener, definitely give me a response on that for sure. And yeah, man, so that covers those 2 albums. Hopefully you guys enjoy those albums. And the last thing we're gonna cover is we did news. What are we gonna cover next? Let's see here. Yeah, we're gonna get into a more of a fun topic, a little bit off the lines of metal, but at the same time, it still is metal because it's horror. And who doesn't like a great horror movie? So we're gonna get into some horror movies, man. Maybe a movie that you should watch, shouldn't watch, and just talk a little bit about some great horror movies that we also got alongside the great medal that we got. I feel like they coincide because, I mean, let's just be honest, most of us like horror movies because we're brutal as fuck. That's why. So, and we'll do that when we get back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, guys, to Metalcore Mania after quote unquote a commercial break, so to speak. Glad to have you guys back. If you were not listening earlier, we're going to actually do something a little different here, man. And we're going to tackle something that's just as brutal as listening to metal hardcore music, which is watching brutal movies, man. You know, that's what it's about, right? Gotta listen to your hardcore music, gotta watch a hardcore movie, gotta have hardcore sex, and then you gotta go to work and be hardcore. Not as in having a erection hardcore, but as in making your money hardcore. And it all works out for you, man. You'll have a successful life, trust me. You heard it from yours truly, Jay. Trust. Getting into some great horror movies that happened in 2022, which proves that 2022 was just overall a fantastic year, which some people deemed as a year that the world would end. I would say it's a year that everything fell into place, except for miscarriages, but we won't get into that. Of course, that's a joke. Moving on, some of the great horror movies that I checked out in 2022 was The Menu, a very refreshing horror movie that was a lot different than a lot of the traditional horror movies. I was actually a little reluctant to check it out because it was said to have comedy elements, which isn't always a bad thing. It's just you know, just elements that don't necessarily fit with a horror movie specifically. But yeah, The Menu was definitely a really good movie. I would probably give it about, I would say 3.5 out of 5 stars. Another movie is Smile. Smile was definitely a great movie, definitely a great plot. It worked out. I didn't expect it to be as good as it actually was necessarily, because a movie that was sort of similar to that didn't really live up to my expectations, and that was Truth or Dare. It didn't really live up to my expectation, and it seemed sort of similar based on trailers, but Smile definitely was a great movie. Another movie, Fresh, was another great movie. Scream was very refreshing. Scream was a lot better than some of the previous Screams that have came out. So that was really awesome to see. Definitely some comedic relief in that movie. You're definitely surprised at who the killer or killers were in that movie. So that was very interesting. Let's see here. Choose or Die was a good movie. Hellraiser, absolutely a good movie. And it was really fun to see Hellraiser being produced in modern times and seeing what it could look like with the technology that it had. A lot of people didn't think it would be as good as it was simply because it did not have the main character or main villain, Pinhead, in it. But it did have his, you know, go-to assistant, which is a female deity, which she did very well hitting that, you know, army of demons, man. She did a fantastic job. I was very impressed by how well it was, and just the production value of how the walls were changed and everything. It was an awesome movie, man, for sure. Speak No Evil, I would say as the last movie, it was a really good movie, man. It just goes to show you like the human element and how we'll potentially allow things to escalate because we just want to be politically correct or we're just socially influenced, and how that influence can turn very deadly. It's just one of those things. So Speak No Evil was definitely a really good movie and more of a cautionary tale than anything else. And that'll do it for the movies, man. Now we'll get into some recommendations of some bands and some songs you guys definitely should check out. First and foremost, Staying the Campuses, new album, All Fine, is actually a cult classic. Yes, I said it, a cult classic. And when I do the revamp list, which I believe I mentioned earlier, it will be in the top 10. It's an album that I forgot to put in there because I recently just listened to it. So definitely check that album out, Staying the Campus, All Fine. They're like an emo slash crabcore slash deathcore band all in one, and they are fantastic. Even their look is fantastic, so definitely check them out. Definitely check out Spirit Box's EP. I've been listening to Spirit Box ever since they had that feature with Ryo Kinoshita. Definitely good band. I'm excited to see what Dayshell does next, considering they released a few new singles recently, one of them being Letting Go, which was the single that stands out the most to me. It's definitely exciting and definitely something that makes me look forward to the next project that Dayshell puts out. We still support you, Shaylee Burgett. An album that I might be covering is from a band called Swayshawn. They're a very unique sounding band. They're very interesting, so I definitely want to check them out and see what they have to offer. So I might be covering that. Look forward to that. If you guys haven't noticed, if you did not listen to the annual award show, please check out Outline in Colors, Coast is Clear. That album is absolutely fantastic. And if you listen to the previous episode, you heard that is actually, in fact, in the top 25 albums of all time in the metalcore scene here. Also check out Terrified, a single by Versus Me. You guys, I know I pump Versus Me up. They don't get the credit they deserve. They're, sort of newcomers on the block, however, and man, they're definitely kick ass. So definitely check them out. Attack Attack is back, and they're definitely doing their thing. Definitely check Attack Attack out. They released a couple of new singles. My favorite one was Dark Waves. It is absolutely fantastic. Definitely want to check that out. Attack Attack is back, and they're making noise with even more tracks than previous. To the Grave, you guys know that I just did one of their album reviews. Definitely check out some of their older music. They are kick-ass, and I'm going to leave a link in the description if you guys want to check out my other social media platforms, if you want to donate to the cause so that I can keep this thing going, and maybe start a Patreon and give you guys more content for those who are committed to being metalheads. If you guys do like post-hardcore, considering that I just covered an album from Pierce the Veil, definitely check out one of my friends that I grew up with, who's the front runner for that band, Magnolia Park. They released a single called Do or Die, I think about a month ago, and man, it is definitely kick-ass, definitely a song you definitely want to check out if you're into post-hardcore, and it even has its metalcore elements as well, but they're officially a pop punk band, but they definitely release some really, really solid hardcore music when they go at it. So definitely try to encourage them, man. Man, you guys gotta release some more hardcore stuff, man, because it's always awesome. But you know, I understand that they have their lane and they're gonna do you know what they do. So, but yeah, man. Overall, thank you guys for checking out the podcast. I'm nothing without you guys' support. So definitely support the cause, and it definitely motivates me to do more. I really appreciate the listeners for my I Prevail episode. That episode did really well, so I definitely appreciated that. Hope you guys had fun with all the different topics we covered in this episode and didn't make it so, music related, which is what I normally do in a lot of these episodes. So definitely thank you guys for the support. I'll leave some poll questions down below. For those who do listen on Spotify, unfortunately, it's only available for Spotify listeners. So if you guys do listen on Spotify, definitely I'll have some questions down below for you guys. And also, check out Ad Infinitum, man. They're a great band with a female, fronted by a female. And they're absolutely awesome. They do symphonic metal. Song you want to check out is Seth, or See You in Hell is my personal favorite. Another band I just recently got into is Zero. They're more of like the Linkin Park sort of style, but they definitely got some metalcore elements to them. They're awesome. And a last song I'll recommend is a very, very solid band by the name of Paleface Swiss. And definitely check out the song Orphan by them. So I just definitely want to give that shout out so you guys can, increase your discography and your playlist by adding all this greatness to your shit. And with that being said, guys, you guys already know that you better keep your foot on the pedal and stay metal. I'm out. Peace.
Oh, thank you.